There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Hello and welcome to today's WCN-TV program. We are live and it's Tuesday, January 13th, 2026. Today's topic is going to be a sobering one. It's something that rightfully makes people uncomfortable, and unfortunately, I'm afraid too many people try not to think about it, out of sight, out of mind. That seems to be the mindset for most, and sadly, that includes Christians. I'm talking about the topic of abortion. Now, before you tune out, let me urge you to keep watching, because today's program is going to be informative, enlightening, and even encouraging. Interestingly, a report came across my desk just this morning. A recent study from the Family Research Council revealed something both shocking and heartbreaking, and here's what the study found. Among American churchgoers, there's been a huge decrease in those that call themselves pro-life. It's now just 43%, down from 63% just 3 years ago. Coincidentally, that was about the time Roe v. Wade was overturned. 35% of churchgoers consider themselves pro-choice. 8% lean toward pro-choice, but could be convinced otherwise. And 7% lean toward pro-life, but could be convinced otherwise. And again, we're talking about churchgoers here. The biggest part of this problem is the silence of the churches on this life and death issue. Study also found 12% said abortion is talked about in their church once every few years. 13% said such instruction was provided once a year. 23% admitted their church never talks about it. So the church is basically silent on this. There have been many independent organizations working to inform the public on the horrors of abortion and put a stop to this shedding of innocent blood. Unfortunately, you need to be careful which organizations you support, because as I've learned, there are some groups out there that really don't do actual work. They seem to only raise funds and offer lip service, having no real effect on the situation. But our guest today is Mark Harrington, the founder of Created Equal, one of two very solid and fruitful ministries that my wife and I support each month, because they're actually doing something and having a significant impact. So we're going to learn a lot today. Some of it's going to be heartbreaking. Some of the program today is going to greatly encourage you. But I dare you to watch the full program today without shedding a tear or two. Mark, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time to be here today.
It's great to be with you, Rob.
You know, a lot of people celebrated when Roe v. Wade was finally overturned, thinking the fight was over and babies would be protected now, but that's not the case, is it?
Not at all. Roe v. Wade was a court ruling in the U.S. Supreme Court. Overturning Roe did nothing to change the abortion status in the United States. As we can see in the last 3 or 4 years since Roe was overturned, states are routinely expanding abortion access. So if anything, it's made it harder. Not that we didn't want to overturn Roe, we did because it gave it back to the state legislatures to fight. But the overturning of Roe did not change much at all, other than taking it out of the U.S. Supreme Court's hands.
Well, yeah. So now instead of one monster to fight, we have 50. I think there are only 14 states now, if my research is correct, where abortion has even been somewhat restricted. Is that right?
That's about right. And about the same number have no limits.
Right.
And then there's a lot of states that are in the middle. And so the fight is still on. I mean, obviously, we're still in it and we have a shot at making some progress in some of these states. But the last count I took on the Constitution amendments, we are 3 of 14. Three of 17. That means we've lost 14 of these and we've only won 3. And this time around in 2026, it doesn't look a lot better, be honest with you. Some of these states, Virginia, or Oregon's going to be putting one on the ballot. There's some hope in possibly, you know, banning it in Idaho. But we are losing these state referendums because we're losing the battle over hearts and minds, and people are voting now on abortion, and they're voting to expand it generally.
Well, and like I said earlier, it comes down to the churches. I was shocked when I saw this 3 years ago. 63% of churchgoers said they were pro-life. Now it's 43%, so 20%, you know, in 3 years. And I really do believe it's the silence of the pastors.
No question about it. Plus, you know, Americans are seeing this happen. They're seeing abortion being expanded, and they're starting to say, well, if Ohio can vote on this, or any other state can say abortion is legal, then I want to be on that side. And that's, you know, we call it legal positivism, actually, that if it's legal, then it must be moral. If it's illegal, it must be immoral. So it doesn't shock me that Americans are now, and even churches and Christians are siding with the so-called popular side. But it is a problem. The church always has been. I've been at this for 30 years. It's only gotten worse. Pastors are just taking a pass on this. They don't feel like it's within their purview a lot of times to speak on it. But as we all know, it is something that they should be. And you know, we have Sanctity of Human Life Sunday coming up this Sunday. And, you know, I often bristle at the old notion that we need to have once a year. We're going to preach on abortion. Every Sunday should be Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, to be honest with you. That doesn't mean we need to preach on abortion every Sunday. But and I don't have a problem with setting aside some time for it. But sometimes I think it's used as an excuse for once a year, the pastor is going to say something on it.
Yeah, you said that correctly. Say something on it. You
know, yeah,
they really are, you know, have taken the cowardly route. But you know, while I was working on my show prep today, I was really at a loss as to where to even start. But your website is packed with resources, has a lot of video clips, and I think the best way to go about this is for you to kind of take us through your website. Okay. And then we can talk from there. As we do this, by the way, it's createdequal.org. As we do this, Mark, go ahead and pick out some video clips that you feel are most important. But I do have one in particular that I want to make sure we show.
Well, the first one, to be honest, the first one is the abortion video itself. And if you click on the homepage, it says what's wrong with abortion, you'll see. A lot of people don't want to watch this, but this is what we do. We show abortion victim photography and video in the public square. We go to college campuses. We take a jumbotron screen, a large LED screen, and set it up in the public square. We now are unveiling a brand new LED truck, which has abortion video playing on the sides and rear. And we're taking that to Washington, D.C. next week. This video needs to be seen, and needs to be seen far and wide. And a lot of people don't want to watch it because it's disturbing, of course. But that's the point, right?
Right.
Abortion is disturbing, and we can't sugarcoat it and brush it under the rug. And a lot of pro-lifers and Christians generally just don't want to see it. They don't think it should be shown in public. I differ with them. I think it has to be seen. because abortion is an act of violence. It kills a baby, and words fail us to describe it. It has to be seen to be understood. So that's where I'd start. It's going to turn off some people maybe, but hey, too bad. It's time to fess up and know what abortion is and does. So I'd say play that video first.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see it.
And there you go. You know, if I could just apprehend a satellite from Fox News and beam this across the country into every American home, we'd have a different country. Because the problem is abortion is not being seen for what it is and it needs to be. It's some, you know, medical procedure. It's health care. It's a euphemism. It's not child killing or child sacrifice. And that's what these images prove. That's what it is. And so we're dedicated to showing the truth about abortion. We've been doing it for 30 years. We're not going to stop.
Well, you made a kind of a very good point there. And something that I realized quite a while ago was a lot of times on late night television, they have these tear-jerking ads for the pets. And how we need to rescue these poor shivering pets out in the cold. And people don't realize those humane society and whatever other organizations, they get that airtime for free. The networks consider it public service announcements. So they actually get those for free. But an organization like yours couldn't pay to put this on the air. You couldn't pay any amount of money, they wouldn't put it on the air.
No, but they would put pictures of Palestinians being blown up because it fits the narrative. So it's not like they're against the use or the publishing of imagery that's disturbing. It just doesn't fit their narrative. If it did, they would put it up on television. I'm convinced of that. So that's really at the heart of this. We're fighting a battle against institutions, which includes the media, the church, basically every institution in America that doesn't want to show the truth about this. So we've got to go to the public square. That's the only place we can go where we won't be censored.
Well, and I love your Jumbotron because that's something people, I mean, you can take the signs and you need to do that, but those can easily be destroyed, as we've seen, and stolen, and you know,
yep.
So you have a harder time when you're dealing with a Jumbotron. So,
The reason we started that is that, you know, I was convinced early that victim photography had to be used to discuss abortion. We don't do anything without them, honestly. Because it communicates a very complex message at a glance. People can get what we're talking about. But still images are useful, but real video is completely different. You know, it's been said that pictures are worth 1,000 words. Well, a video is worth 1,000,000 words. And anytime we can use the video, we do. And so we have a Jumbotron, we have an LED truck that we take it around. And that there's some photos right there of us on a college campus. And it brings them out because of the controversy. Nobody, you know, most college students don't want to see this. So they do everything they can to shut us down. We've had people block the thing. We've had people try to destroy it. For the most part, though, the campuses respect our First Amendment rights, and we have really good lawyers. So that keeps us continuing to go to the camp.
Good for you. Why don't we have you kind of tell us the Created Equal story? If you go, Spencer, to the main page, and then under our story, we can look at the timeline, and maybe Mark, you can walk us through how this all got started.
Yeah, well, I don't want to go too far back, but I became a Christian at 28. And it wasn't long after that my wife showed me an aborted baby photo when she was working at a PRC volunteering. And that changed my life. I mean, it was the thing that I looked at and I was like, my life could never be the same. I knew it. And I started doing some stuff volunteer-wise. And then soon after that, I decided that, you know, the Lord was calling me to full-time work. So I quit my job, started raising support, and started taking pictures out to the local abortion mill. And then I met Greg Cunningham of the Center for Bioethical Reform, which is based out of California. And they are really, they were, and until now, until really we came around, they were the ones, the entrepreneurs, taking these types of images to college campuses. And I went out with them one time, and I was just completely convinced that this was the way to go. And so soon after that, we started Created Equal. And our focus was to raise up the next generation, to recruit and train and deploy young people out on college campuses and elsewhere to discuss, debate, present abortion to mostly college students, but basically anywhere. And the reason for that, obviously, is that I'm not getting any younger. And we need to, you know, replace ourselves, because before long, this if we don't replace ourselves, the abortion issue is going to die. And so it really is important that we raise up a generation of warriors. And so that's what I started doing. And we started the Jumbotron in 2012, and we debuted that at the March for Life. Then we took one to the San Francisco, right into the heart of it. We got sued by the city. And ended up winning that lawsuit. And then we launched what we call the Justice Rides, which we can talk about in depth later. But that was patterned after the Civil Rights Freedom Rides, in that we basically charter a couple busloads of young people, take them on the road, train them in the bus, train them in the classroom, then take them out to college campuses and put them in front of people that disagree with them and make them fend for themselves. That's the best way people learn. And so the Justice Ride, the first time we did that, I think, was in 2012. We've been doing it ever since. And we're about ready to go on our annual Justice Ride early in March. And so that is our premier training and outreach program. It's the one we recruit the most students through. And it provides our organization with staff members and others. So the Justice Ride really was the thing that really got us going. And then since then, we've been doing more of the same by just taking and improving upon what we've been doing, because there's really nothing new under the sun. I mean, you just need to get better at it. That's all. Showing more pictures to more people. And we will talk about Make Abortion History here in a few minutes, but you can't replace the use of the victim photography and video. It really is the most successful thing that pro-lifers can do.
Well, I really love the fact that you're training young people to talk to other young people, because nobody can really reach them like they can.
Exactly. And so, that's why I always put out the plug out there. If there are any young people or parents of young people that want to send them on a missions trip that will change their life, they need to come on the Justice Ride with us, because it's one of those aha moments. It's one of those God moments where they really realize that they've got something they can that's bigger than themselves that we can be a part of. It really builds a lot of community. We call it synergy. Like the Civil Rights Freedom Rides, where they were all bound together in the trenches, you know, fighting a particular cause or a battle. And it really builds a team. And so that's been very successful for us.
Yes, and it really, truly is a mission trip. It's not a vacation to a Caribbean island somewhere. It's you're learning something when you go on one of these trips. So,
amen.
Spencer, on the Created Equal website, if you can click the About Us tab, I want to go through all the sections there. But first, let's go down to sidewalk counseling. This is the video I wanted to show.
Projects. Yeah.
Sidewalk counseling, and then maybe Martin, you can tell us how you go about that. And we want to show the video. I got to see the baby. So.
Yeah, great video. Well, sidewalk counseling, basically, just by the term itself, you can tell what we're doing. Ohio is a destination state for abortion, unfortunately. It wasn't until issue one passed in 2023. So we are now a destination for Indiana, West Virginia, and Kentucky, which are states where abortion is highly restricted or even banned. So people are traveling here, they're crossing over the border, and our abortion mills are, you know, busy as ever, increasing abortions by about 20% last year, and a lot of those are out-of-state abortions. So we go out there because we're compelled to do that. The Bible says that we should rescue those being led away to death. It's an imperative that we do it. We know where the babies die or where they're going to die. So we need to be there in solidarity with them and defend them as best we can. We realize that most women, mothers who are taking their going to the abortion mill have made up their mind. Most of them have by this point. But you never know. And every once in a while, we're going to play this video, we're successful in changing one of their minds. We're talking them out of it. So it's a hard ministry, I have to say, because 9 out of 10, even higher than that, the women that go there are going to go right inside and kill their baby no matter what you do. You can plead to them and give them the best arguments not to do it, and they still go inside. It's just a really hard work, but it needs to be done. It's a really important work. So we go there because we can save lives, and every once in a while, we do. So. Just pleading with the mom to not kill her baby. We use the victim photography. We use pictures of prenatal development because, as I said, most women are not going to come over and talk to us. So we got to put something in their minds, and that the image is sometimes alone is enough to convince them to not go through with it. So,
okay, let's show this. Let's go full screen on it, Spencer, and we'll go through it, and then we'll get back to it.
Hi, Miss.
Hi.
For Planned Parenthood?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got a little lost.
Well, I think the better facility is over here. It's going to get you free services. Are you pregnant?
I am.
I'm so sorry about that. Why? Why is that?
Because I didn't know they were going to attack me or something.
Oh, well, no, you shouldn't be attacked, but I'm so sorry about that, you know. Do you have other children?
I have a little girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to encourage you that, you know, that child, your child right now, and the same child inside your womb are equally valuable, you know, and that we can help you. We can help raise money for you. I understand if you have an appointment here, but we can refund that appointment. That this abortion won't take away the pain of that rape. You know, the abortion won't unrape you. You know, but there's another option. You don't have to go in there today. You can come talk to us, and we can help you out. Have you even seen the ultrasound yet? You know they won't do an ultrasound for you. This one does it for free. You should just go look at your baby real quick, you know? You're not alone, man. I'm here for you, okay? I can help you financially. I care about you. I care about your other child. And I care about the baby inside your womb. They're going to lie to you. I'm telling you right now. They're not going to tell you the truth. They won't even show you the ultrasound because they just want your money. And even if you've already paid them, I will refund you. If we go, we should go to this other place because it's not too late. It's not too late. You know? What's your name? I'm Evangeline. I, I, I'm so sorry about what happened, but the person who deserves to be punished is that man, right? He deserves to be punished, not that little baby. Would you consider talking about this? Maybe adoption or something, ma'am? Yeah? Come on. You can park over here. I'm sorry? Okay, come out and talk to me. Now they're gonna lie to you. Don't do this. Please think about your other child. Please. Please. I care about you. I don't hate you. But I don't want you to go through with this. You know it's a baby. That baby is just as valuable as your other child. Please. We want to help you financially. They're gonna lie to you. They're gonna tell you that you're doing the right thing. That's not true. Please. How can I help you? Well, I care about you. We love you. Thank you. Praise God. You did not deserve to go through that rape. I'm so sorry. But you're doing the right thing, okay? Good. Hi, this is... Does she want to get an ultrasound? I'll be out here when you're done, okay? There she is. Okay, you guys can... I'm gonna go talk to her. Hey. How are you? Good? So how'd it go?
See the baby.
Yeah?
You want to see it?
How far along are you?
13 weeks.
13 weeks?
They were just amazing.
Oh, precious.
I got to hear the heartbeat too.
Yeah.
It has a strong little heart.
Yeah. So have you decided?
I think I'm going to keep them for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah. Did they tell you the gender or do you know yet?
I'll find out in 2 weeks.
Okay. So.
Excited.
You're going to keep your baby?
Yeah.
So
I am. I'm glad I came today.
Yeah.
If I didn't, I probably wouldn't have met you guys or even had like the resources or anything. I told my boyfriend I'm going to keep the baby, so he's really excited.
Yeah.
He's more happy. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I was going to say, because no one can pressure you into doing that if you want. That's great.
He's
okay.
Happy. He was kind of upset that I even thought about it, so. Moving. My daughter's really excited, so.
Yeah. That's her sibling, brother. Yeah. Their brother or sister?
She wants a little brother, so.
Yeah.
Hoping it's a boy.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I'm excited.
What were you thinking doing this exactly? Like,
I was scared. Mm-hmm. I wanted just the information, but they didn't seem like, I don't know, on the phone, they didn't seem like they really cared about giving the information.
Yeah.
I've been struggling for the past year now with the pandemic.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe, like, just having the abortion would help financially, but they gave me a lot of resources for programs and stuff too, so I'm gonna stick with this and hopefully it all works out. But
it will because you're doing the right thing.
Yeah,
hopefully other girls won't
you
know, kind of that mindset that I was in, so it was really helpful.
All right, I'll talk to you. Okay, I'll call you.
And that's what it is all about, folks. I have actually been to that exact location, and I think Ray, in our audience, I think you've been there too, more than once. Any comments or questions from our audience at this point? Ray?
Yeah, just one, Mark. You mentioned earlier about, you know, most of the women going in there, they've already made up their mind, and they're going to carry through with it. But what we don't know is the other element when women are driving up and down the streets, wherever these abortion clinics are, they're seeing that signs. Mm-hmm. They're recognizing what it happens when an abortion goes through. Even if they're not pregnant and they're pregnant down the road, these thought patterns are embedded in their mind. And I believe that's going to make a big difference in the end as well. We don't know those numbers, but I believe they're pretty high as well. I recall a story, you know, Dale Socia out in Louisiana, Dale, Pastor Dale, when he was working back in his 20s or so at a restaurant, he was a manager there, and there was a teenager working there that got pregnant. But Dale on the weekends would go to that abortion clinic with the signs, and she was going to go in there and kill her child. And she saw him there with the sign and backed off and didn't go. Mm-hmm. And then they just, you know, went their own ways. 20 years go by, and she recognizes Dale on Facebook, and she shows him a picture of her son in a military outfit. And that was just a touching thing that God gives us a glimpse of, you know, what you're doing is worth it. And we don't know the results all the time, but just keep on doing what you're doing.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, we're not going to meet a lot of the babies that are saved, obviously. This is the rare situation that they actually come out and tell us. But we know that on college campuses, too. We run into women all the time. They're pregnant. And we don't. And some of them are coming by or pregnant, didn't really talk to us, but they see the pictures. So it definitely has an impact. The other reason why it's important to go to these centers is you want the community to which these people live in to know that this center is operating in that community. They should be known for it. And hopefully there'll be others that would rise up against it. And the same with the churches. The churches, some of them are almost next door to some of these places, you know. And so it's by the permission of the church that abortion continues. So it's important that we're out on the streets telling people about it.
Absolutely. And anyone else in the audience, questions, comments? All right. So, Mark, you mentioned about Ohio being kind of a destination now. Tell us about your border state rescue units.
Yeah, Spencer.
And if we can, maybe we can show us where that is on the website.
Yeah, so right when Roe v. Wade was looking like it might be overturned, I started raising money for an ultrasound, mobile ultrasound unit in the event that Ohio fell afterwards, or I wasn't sure what was going to happen. All I knew is the landscape was going to change because now it was going to be a state-by-state battle, that there were going to be abortion-free states and there were going to be abortion havens. So there's going to be this patchwork of abortion law across the country. So that's why we started raising money for this, because I knew if we could place this on the border of states that border abortion, free states, that women would come over and we could pick them off, if you will. That is, position this outside the abortion mills as a huge advertisement to come in and get a free ultrasound. Because it's not very often that the, as in the case in the video that you saw, there was actually a crisis or a pregnancy resource center right next to Planned Parenthood. That's not normally the case. So this gives that as an opportunity for these girls to come in and get an ultrasound. So I raised the money. We deployed it. I don't know how long it's been now, about a year and a half. It's been on the border there at Cincinnati at the Planned Parenthood. We partner with our good friends at Cincinnati Right to Life, and we have been doing it ever since. So this is the kind of forward thinking that needs to be happening in the pro-life movement. We call them border rescue units. That's what they are. So if Planned Parenthood can do this, and this is what they do, they have mobile abortion clinics, we can have mobile rescue units.
Yeah, that's just, it blows my mind that they have mobile.
It's crazy.
Abortion centers. You know, in a lot of places, you need more. You need more inspection. You need more licensing to open a hair salon than you do an abortion center.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think it's amazing what you guys are doing. Tell us about the Justice Ride and your summer internships.
Yeah. Well, as I said before, it's our premier training program for young people. It happens, I think the dates are March, or let's see, February 27, this year, February 27 through March 7. Like I say, we charter two busloads of young people, charter buses. We start in Columbus, and we train them on the bus on the way down. And then we train them on the weekend prior to the campuses. And then for 5 days, we're on college campuses and we're going to the abortion centers, teaching them how to debate abortion, how to save babies. So it is the, like I say, the our way of recruiting the youth. It's our pipeline, if you will, that brings people into our organization. After that, they can intern with us for a summer, or they come to Columbus for a very intense training and outreach program for the summer, 8 weeks in the summer here in Columbus. And then some of those who intern will say want to staff with us for maybe, we call it a gap year, which is two college semesters. If they go through that and they want to staff full time, then they raise their own support to do it. So that's how we get our people. We don't pay salaries. Every one of our staff raises their own support like a missionary would. So these are really dedicated young people who are setting aside all the other things that they could do, right? And they're, you know, doing a hard thing by raising support and becoming a missionary for the unborn.
So where are you headed on this next trip?
Right. So Florida, we go there for several reasons. Not just because it's warm in the middle of winter, where it's, you know, February here in Ohio, it's cold. But we do it on spring break in this part of the country. Obviously not spring break down there because what the college is open. But we go to some of the colleges down there. And Florida has a lot going for it in that it's a populated state. It's pretty easy to get around. A lot of big colleges. We go to University of South Florida, University of Central Florida, University of Florida, Florida State University. That's typically the ones we go to. And, you know, again, it's a great place for students to learn how to debate abortion. And then we head back to Ohio.
Okay. And you also have an upcoming trip to D.C., right?
We do. Yeah, the annual March for Life. We don't go in March, although there's nothing wrong with that. We go to reach the marchers, because they're nominally pro-life, many of them. Some of these young people, and it is mostly young people, are bussed in there because they get a day off from school. A lot of Christian schools and Catholic schools will bus them in. They're marginally, some of them not even pro-life, they're pro-choice. And if they even are pro-life, they still need to see abortion, because we can lose touch of why we do what we do. And also, we witness to the entire city of Washington, D.C., because we're right near the U.S. Capitol. And so these gigantic screens are up for two full days. And so we're reaching a heck of a lot of people, not just the marchers during the March for Life, although that is mainly why we go. We are reaching a lot of people who live in Washington, D.C., and a lot of our public officials.
Right, right. Let's, Spencer, let's go back to the About Us tab, and Mark kind of walk us through. I just don't want to miss anything, because I went through your website again over the last few days, and there's so much material there. There's so many resources. Kind of take us through.
Yeah, well, we've talked about campus outreach, the Jumbotron TV, sidewalk counseling, Operation Overpass. We haven't spoken about that, but that is, I think, one of our most effective projects. And what we do is set up our large abortion victim banners over overpasses. They're usually walk bridges in our city. And on average, in a given morning during rush hour, we get 20,000 people drive underneath it.
I think there was there just a short video in that, if you click that tab.
Yeah.
Let's I think it's only a minute. Let's do that. Yeah.
Take a look at that.
Going up onto an overpass over 315, which is one of the busiest highways here in Columbus. And we're going to show pictures that have the aftermath of abortion, along with some messages like abortion is murder. About 20,000 people see our signs.
When people see the images, I hope that they're saddened by the reality of abortion. I hope they're grieved for the babies that have been killed. It's important to show the images because it's the gruesome reality of what is actually taking place. People like to say that the preborn are just a glob of cells or a blob of tissue, but in reality, they're human beings and they deserve to be protected just as you or I are protected.
Yeah, I love that project. It only takes a couple people. Doesn't take a bunch of folks, and you can reach a whole lot of people. Now, I will say it's one of the most, I would consider, dangerous ones of our projects, because we're kind of isolated up there. People drive underneath. Sometimes they get upset. I've posted videos of irate pro-abortion advocates tearing our stuff down. We've had to hire a security officer to be with us. And since then, we haven't had any trouble, but it is the one where we get the most irate people. And in the days of Charlie Kirk's assassination, it's important for us to take care of our folks. So it tends to be the most risky one of the projects we do.
Yeah, but, you know, all those people stuck in that traffic.
That's right.
They have, you know, they're going to see it. They're absolutely going
right
to see
in
it.
Right in their windshield.
Right. So, amen. Okay, let's, did we miss anything else in the About Us tab?
Yeah,
I thought that was
fantastic. Yeah, let's see. We talked about the mobile units a little bit. If you would click on the mobile units there. No, not that.
No, nope, there you go.
Yeah. So we have one of these pickup trucks right this. We also fly tow banners over cities during election periods. This video down below, play this. This is from New York City. We just took the our new LED billboard truck, which will be in D.C., to Times Square in New York City. Go ahead and play this one.
Well, hello, everybody. Mark Harrington here, coming to you from Times Square in Manhattan in New York City. And as you can see behind me, we are displaying for the first time our mobile LED billboard truck, our new LED billboard truck, which is bigger, brighter, and better than ever before, and also higher resolution than ever before. And we're doing this in partnership with Adaptive Messaging, which is a company run by Paul Triani, our good friend and pro-life activist, in which we have become an investor in the company. And the reason we did that is because we either have to display these on our own or create companies to do that, because most commercial mobile LED billboard or other kinds of messaging will not take our message of abortion victim photography and video. And people need to see it because it communicates a very complex message at a glance. At a glance, you can understand what abortion is just by looking at the screen for just a few moments. And so if a picture's worth a thousand words, then a video's worth a million words. And so that's why we're here in New York City in Times Square displaying our new LED billboard truck. And if you're interested in taking this to your city or state, go to createdequal.org That's createdequal.org.
Yeah, I love this project. That was quite the day because, believe it or not, we parked that thing right there in Times Square and sat there for 3.5 hours.
Wow.
Without one of New York's finest coming by. About 3.5 hours into it, they told us we had to move. So it was providential that we got to sit there for so long. But yeah, those cities like New York City, other cities like that, I mean, this is the best way to get the message out with few people. One driver, one truck. That's all you need.
Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, folks, this is probably the most effective ministry of its kind that I know of. Russ, come on in.
You mentioned financial help to the ladies that get an abortion. Could you speak to that, what that consists of? Thank you.
Well, if you listen to Evangeline, she was willing to pony up the money herself, but we have a fund that is set aside to help mothers who choose life. And so we can't, you know, give them hundreds of thousands of dollars, which will take to probably raise a child until they're 18. But we can take care of some of the major costs that she might have for the pregnancy, provide resources for her. So we have a fund that we raise money for just for that purpose.
Okay,
thank you. That's what I was wondering about, if there was a specific fund that one could give to. So thank you very much.
Anyone else in the audience? Questions or comments? Now's your time. Okay, so Mark, you have a Make Abortion History campaign. Tell us how that works and what you do and what the results have been.
Yeah, go to that page because I think that's a fitting way to end the program. And the backstory here is we're an abortion haven state, that is Ohio, unfortunately. In 2023, issue one passed, legalized abortion up to the very moment of birth. Before that, we had a heartbeat law that was in effect temporarily. So, I mean, we would be considered a red state, quite honestly. Donald Trump carried the state by 8 points twice, but that didn't change the way Ohio voted, unfortunately. 57-43, they passed the amendment. And so, because this is our home turf, makes sense that we want to take care of our own turf. We started devising a plan to reverse that, to try to repeal issue one, the constitutional amendment that was put on in the Ohio Constitution. And what we did is we came up with some program, which was actually originally designed for Michigan. And what it is, this is kind of a pilot project. And that is, you pick a city that kind of resembles the rest of Ohio, and it was outside of the Columbus area, kind of a, not a suburb, but it was a city outside of Columbus, about 30 minutes, and we polled the city prior to our campaign to see where everybody stood on abortion. And then we started the campaign, and there was a preparation stage, a stage as you see on the screen, a persuade stage, and then a preserve stage. The preparation stage is we were able to target using digital advertising, CTV, persuadable voters in that region with ads like you see here. One was a survivor of an abortion who tells her story. There was one about the industry, what the industry is all about. That is the abortion industry, which is money. And then the other ads that we ran was trying to get at the issue of whether abortion's healthcare or not. And so those are targeted ads to persuadable voters in one selected city in Ohio to try to test the project to see if we could move the needle enough to do, go statewide. The second part was a persuade stage, which involved what we call deep canvassing. Deep canvassing is where you go door to door, but it's unlike regular political canvassing where you're just trying to get somebody to vote for a candidate or vote against a candidate. This is where we actually take time to persuade someone to become pro-life. And so that takes a little more effort, right? And so we have these handouts that we gave, and we went door to door to the same people that received the TV ads. And so we had the ads, then we had the deep canvassing, and at the end of it, we took another poll, and we call it the preserve stage, and we gave them something to do. One of them might be to sign a petition to put a constitutional amendment back on the ballot to reverse the abortion amendment. And then we gave them, if they wanted, a yard sign or a bumper sticker, something that they could tangibly do, you know, to do that would solidify their position. And if you go down the page a little bit, we had our results. We won't get into the you can go to createequal.org yourself if you like and find it and read it for yourself. But to, basically, we were able to move people in our direction a net 12 percentage points, which is pretty impressive, to be honest. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. And so we believe we have something we could build on, and we're going to do phase two, which begins soon, where we're going to go to five cities, not just one, in 2026. We're going to have some better polling, better messaging, better modeling. We think we can improve on that number and actually come out with a project that we could go statewide. And our goal is to put an amendment on the ballot in 2028 that would reverse the abortion amendment here in Ohio. That's the plan. Other places around the country are also interested in doing this program. This is the type of thing that has to happen. We got to be willing to do the hard work. A lot of people want a quick answer, a quick fix to this. It ain't happening. I mean, this is going to be a long work, long way back, if you will. We're going to have to claw our way back, and this is one way to do it. So we feel like we have a project that could do it here in Ohio and elsewhere. And so feel free to come to our website, look at this Make Abortion History. The results are all there to look at.
Our producer just put a note up that I just was able to catch. What did he say? He says, talkaboutabortion.com.
Yeah, this is another great. Help. Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about abortion is a conversation navigator. So for those who are novices or don't know anything about how to debate abortion, this website, or if you will, this navigator will basically, it's more than an FAQs. It basically gives you all the answers to every single argument you could imagine on abortion. And it gives you information on Created Equal and why we do what we do. And so this is a really good and effective way to hone your apologetic skills on abortion without having to go to, say, a seminar or a conference or listen to a speaker. You can do it all on your own. Of course, it doesn't end there. You got to take it out on the street.
Right.
You can learn all the right stuff, fill your heads with all the right answers, but you got to go out on the street and use it. So that's why we feel like this is only half of the equation. You got to get out on the street to put it into practice.
Well, Mark, I think I met you the first time down at Coach Dave's, one of his events. In fact, I remember the exact date, and I think it was at Mike Blake's place, and you came as a college professor type guy, advocating for abortion, and none of us in the audience knew what this was. We didn't know who you were, and just as the audience started to turn ugly, you came out and told us what it was all about, and basically, you taught us.
That day. I do remember that. I called myself Professor Choice.
Yes, and we did not like you. But we were thinking to ourselves, this can't possibly be. I mean, this can't be for real. And anyway, that day you taught us SLED. We have a video on SLED. Maybe we can show that. Do you have that handy, Spencer?
Yeah, no, you know, I do remember that day. I remember Patrick Johnson was there, if you recall, and his
family. Yeah,
one of his children got really upset and thought I was for real.
Yeah, we were all upset. You know what?
I had to comfort him. I said, "No, I'm this is acting."
Yeah. Right. Okay. So let's. So this is a good way to end. It kind of tells you how to do it. So let's watch.
Just for saying?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
But I mean,
again, it's a heavily debated topic for a reason, so there's going to be two opinions.
Well, the embryologists are all of one opinion. You can pick up any embryology textbook in the world. It'll tell you that human life begins at fertilization, that there you have a distinct living and whole human individual at fertilization.
It's a matter of fixing the broken adoption system and the broken foster care system.
Well, that's part of it. Beyond ignoring injustice just because you don't have all the solutions to it. So if abortion really is killing innocent human beings, then it's an injustice that's got to be dealt with, even if we don't have all the answers right now, right? I mean, that's what we've done with injustices in the past.
Yeah. It,
you know, you look at slavery, you know, we didn't have everything figured out and we didn't handle everything right afterwards, right?
No, we didn't.
But it would have been wrong to say, let's keep slavery legal until we can figure everything out. It was still right for them to illegalize slavery, even though they didn't have everything figured out yet, right?
Yeah, but this isn't slavery, this is abortion. They're two completely different issues.
They are different issues, but they're both injustices because they both discriminate against innocent human beings.
True.
What in your mind differentiates a human, an unborn human, from a born human that gives a born human more value? Or a late trimester human? What's the difference?
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Not on the spot.
Well, there are four differences. Their size, their level of development, their environment, their location, and their amount of dependency on someone else. Those are the only four. But none of those are good reasons for justifying killing you then, but not now. We don't get our value from our size. We don't get our value from how developed we are. We shouldn't get our value from the place we're in. And we shouldn't get our value, you know, from being less dependent on someone else. Because those are all things we all vary in. Do you see? There can't be human equality if we pick a value-giving attribute that we all have unequally. Does that make sense?
I guess.
So will you follow the conclusion to where it leads? If that's human, will you protect him as if he is one?
Again, that's not my decision. That's the woman's decision.
Well, we can't make choices for people, right?
No.
But there are some choices that are right and wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if the unborn's a human being and has value as a human being, then the choice to kill him would be as wrong as the choice to kill him as a toddler, right?
The kid is stumped.
That is if we're going to believe in true human equality and if he's a human, just like we're humans.
Hey, if you...
It's good stuff.
Okay, so yeah, that's you taught a sled that day, Mark.
Yeah, you did. Yep.
I appreciate it because
that's Titus. Titus is one of our team members. He's a good one.
So, well, we are down to about our last minute here, folks. I would encourage you to support Created Equal. It's createdequal.org. Mark also has a program of his own at markharringtonshow.com, and tell us real quick about that, Mark.
Well, the best thing to do, actually, just follow me on social media. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook or on TikTok, all of it. And if you like the clips like you just saw with Titus, you get one every day with me if you follow me on social media. So you go to markharrington.org and you can find out all the different platforms that I'm on, along with all the pro-life or Created Equal projects that were that Create Equal conducts. So follow me on social media is the best way to keep up with what I'm doing.
Good. Okay. And again, folks, the best organization of its kind that I know of, createdequal.org. I was going to say something else. Now I forgot what I was talking about. Anyway. Oh, yes. And you can support the organization as a whole. You can support the individual workers there. They really are missionaries, and they do need support. And you can go there and learn about each one and pick one of the missionaries you want to support, or just support the organization as a whole. And Lord knows they do need your support. So God bless you, Mark. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us on the show, Rob.
Yeah, yep. And share the program, folks, and we will see you same time next week. God bless.